This afternoon we are going to think about that part of the Psalm 119 that is called Teth, and this particular section begins with the verse 65. So let's read these few verses together and then we'll make some comments upon them. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. The Psalm 119 contains 22 subsections. Each subsection is a little psalm in its own right. And yet throughout these 22 miniature psalms, there is one glorious theme, and that theme is the Word of God. Each one of these subsections is a title, and the title is a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet contains little symbols, little pictures. Every letter is a picture in its own right. And we have been looking at the connection between the pictures and the symbols and the particular section that carries the name of that symbol as its title. Today we come to the Teth, and the Teth is a primitive drawing, a simple sketch of a serpent, or as we would say, a snake. This is the third animal picture in the Hebrew alphabet. The first is the first letter, Aleph, and Aleph represents the ox. The second is the third letter, Gimel, and the Gimel represents the camel. And the third is the serpent, the snake, and this is the Teth. And now the snake is quite different from the ox and the camel. The ox and the camel were useful animals. The ox was useful for work, for ploughing the field, for drawing the carts. The camel was most useful as a beast of burden, carrying the wares across the long, harsh, dreary wilderness. And a camel, of course, is ideally suited for hot and dry conditions. The serpent, on the other hand, has little value. In fact, the serpent is regarded as the cunning animal, the representation of the devil, because whenever Satan came into the Garden of Eden to entice Adam and Eve, he took upon himself the form of a serpent. Therefore, when we think of the snake, we think of its poison, we think of its slyness, we think of how it lies in wait, we think of how it can spring without warning, we think of its terrible fangs. There is nothing pretty about a snake, and yet a snake has been created for a purpose. And it does fulfill a purpose in the great natural world. And it is a beautiful animal in its own right. But in the Bible, the snake represents the devil. And this is how we will look at this particular section of the Psalm 119. Because there is one word that comes to the fore here in this section. It is the word afflicted. And the psalmist here not only talks about his personal afflictions, his personal sorrows, but he talks about how the personal sorrows that he had, they performed good works in his life. Before I was afflicted, he said in the verse 67, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And again he says in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Affliction can be very much like a snake or a serpent. It can catch us unawares, it sinks its fangs into us, it causes us pain, causes us hurt, it inflicts a poison that can at times be with us through the rest of our lives. This affliction may be some kind of illness, this affliction may be sorrow, bereavement. It has a profound influence upon us, and it is hurtful. There are times when the devil afflicts us, and the Bible certainly teaches us that this is the case. For example, it was Satan who afflicted Job, who deprived him of his family, who deprived him of his health, who deprived him of his business, who caused his wife to tell him to abandon his faith, that all is lost, who inspired his friends to come and say, Job, you're a terrible, wicked man, or these things would not have happened to you. It was the devil's influence that caused Job to feel abandoned and all alone. There is no doubt about it, but Job suffered severely because of the attack of the serpent, the devil, upon his life, his family, upon his business, upon every aspect of his life. The Apostle Paul likewise experienced the attack of Satan. He experienced a physical deformity, something that he called the messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. It was a thorn in the flesh, and it caused him such great despair that Paul got before God three times and he said, will you not remove this, Lord? Will you not remove this thorn? Will you not remove this pain from my life? So the devil, like a snake, comes and he afflicts Christian people in order to get them down. And here in this section of the Psalm 119 that is called by the title Death, the Death represents the serpent or the snake. The man who wrote this psalm experienced something similar. He talked about himself being afflicted. And yet he said here that he was afflicted for good reason. Whenever he reviewed his life and his experience, he discovered that God had a purpose. Although the devil may have been attacking him, the devil only could do what God allowed him to do. And we must always understand that. The devil is under the power and the dominion of Jesus Christ, and he only does what God allows him to do. That was certainly so in the case of Job, because we are told that God put a fence around Job. And whenever God allowed the devil to attack Job, he placed certain restrictions. For example, the devil was not permitted to take Job's life. But what the psalmist said here was that God allowed him to be afflicted because he went astray in the verse 67. So he had lost out with God. He was committing some form of sin, perhaps. Then the affliction came, and the affliction was used by God, was permitted by God to draw him back. And he said, after my affliction, I have kept thy word. And there have been people in life who have experienced that. God has allowed them to suffer pain, agony, sorrow, in order that they might be drawn into a closer walk with himself. There are people who are Christians today, and one of the things that God used to bring them to himself was affliction. Some have sought God in the midst of sorrow. Some have sought God in the midst of pain. Perhaps you're undergoing a dark valley of suffering at this time, and God is speaking to you through it. Listen to the call. Listen to the voice. And you put your faith in God, and you will say, I am thankful that I have been afflicted. The person who wrote this psalm said something very interesting here. He said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. I am so grateful for my afflictions. It has been good for me. That was the experience of Paul. Paul said, as a result of learning the lessons through affliction, he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. He discovered that in the midst of his physical weakness, he was really strong. God made him spiritually strong. You see, God's interested in the spirit. And when the spirit is strong through bodily weakness, that's success. That's true strength. And I have known people who have experienced great weakness, deformity, suffering. And yet I've witnessed a strength there that I have envied in a good sense, because their pain has given them something that the rest of us do not have in life. In the verse 72, the psalmist said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. As a result of his pain and suffering, he was brought to a golden place. A golden place. I think of Job. He said, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And Job there saw the hand of God in his sufferings. And he compared himself to gold, and for gold to be purified, it has to be put in the furnace. And when it is put in the furnace, the impurities are burnt off and the gold comes out more pure than before. And that's how God works with us. He puts us into his furnace. He allows us to be afflicted. He allows Satan to attack us. God has a purpose in this world. He has a purpose in life. And we need to understand that. Verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Thou wert good and doest good. Everything that God does, he does well. As for God, his way is perfect. Sit back and reflect upon your life and see the goodness of God in everything. Learn the lessons that God teaches us in the crucible of suffering. And above all, if you don't know Christ, seek him as Saviour and learn the lessons that God is teaching you at this particular stage in your earthly journey. I thank you so much for listening.